Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian, the inevitable.
Instigator's emerged. Britannia's back in the inside. Instigator, Stern Idol. Stern Idol fight. Instigator, Stern Idol. The big boy's fighting like a lion. Stern Idol all the way. Brave.
Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face. At the 150, Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100. It's getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. Gee, I am pumped for this weekend. It is Underwood Stakes Day at Caulfield. The race itself probably has suffered a little bit since they've moved it off Grand Final weekend Sunday, but nonetheless, I'm looking forward to it, and we are ready to rip into some good bets. I think there are Morales galore. Bot, how are your confidence levels? Are they as high as mine?
Well, to be honest with you, I haven't been as excited from a betting point of view about a meeting in a long time. Like I don't remember the feeling of being having been excited, like this excited on a Thursday for a long time. So I think there's a couple ones that the marketers got wrong early, and we can capitalize on, I guess. So I'm very excited for Saturday.
Yeah, no, 100%. If you are new here for the first time, Will Alford is the mastermind of Racing Previews. We call him the bot. He's a very good form analyst, but I'm a better tipster. So
you're probably not wrong. Will, I can't do the tipping.
Can analyze, just can't spit out the tip. How's your week been? What's been going on?
Not much. Just been working. I did the prices for Wednesday. They were good. Won on Wednesday at Sandown. And fuck all, really. I just got uni assignments coming out of my ass and work 5 days a week. So very busy, but got enough time to do the form for Saturday. So that's the main thing. You?
Yeah, it's been all right.
It's Mooney Valley.
As soon as football's been finished, it has been a massive weight off the shoulders. It's been heavy, heavy football into heavy, heavy racing and work. So, really looking forward to this Saturday, and more so looking forward to next Friday.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's the feeling getting Mr. Brightside?
Yeah, I think the field's going to fall away a lot after Mr. Brightside, but I don't think we're too worried about that. We've got...
No, who cares? You've got Mr. Brightside running there. That's all.
We've got Mr. Brightside coming. We've got I Wish I Win clashing with Hayasugi in the Manicato. So, and then you've got the start stakes, the stock stakes. It's a bit of a tongue twister. One's for the boys, one's for the girls. And you've also got the Scarborough, the 1200 meters. And
who
could forget...
That's a fucking good meeting.
Who could forget heat one of the Ladbrokes 55-second challenge?
Do they have the... Do they have the 3,000? Is there a 3,000 meter race on the card as well? They don't have that this Friday night.
No, I don't think we could fit that into the eight race program next week, but they will return. Don't worry, punters. They'll be back.
I love going on those.
November, December. But yeah, anyway, so much good racing coming up, but let's not piss fight around too much, Bot, because we've got so many races we need to rip into. Caulfield, what are your thoughts around the track? Firstly, the rail is in the 6 metre position. Conditions, there is a bit of rain over the next few days and maybe even some on race day. Won't be as cold as last Saturday by the radar, thankfully. But what do you think of how this track might play? Because Caulfield has been a little bit tricky the last few meetings.
Yeah, and you know, if it rains during the meeting while they're racing on it, Caulfield can chop up quite badly. So, you know, the race, the track could play so many different ways. It just depends on when the rain comes, because if the inside's chopped up and they're well off it, well then, you know, it plays completely different to what it would be if it's a drying six and a deteriorating six or seven or eight even. So it's a Thursday. I'd be lying to you if I was going to give you a very confident thought about how the track might play, but you know, I just tend to like to back horses that are on speed, so that's how you should always be doing your form, I guess. So just on speed.
Wind hopefully not a factor this week.
There's a little bit, there's a westerly 20 to 30, so that can make some, you know, I'm not too fussed about it. I'm just gonna, the ones I'm betting on Saturday, I'd be betting regardless of how the track might play. Just put it that way.
All right, sweet. That's a good starting point. Let's go straight to race one, punters. 2,000 metre benchmark 78 Quantum Cat, trained by Chris Waller, ridden by the magic man Joe Moreira. First ride back in Victoria, is in Metro Melbourne, is the favourite. $3.40 has been well supported from Denmark, the stablemate, $5. Rise to it, $6.50. Flame and Romans, $8. Whiskey on the Hill, $9. And then you're out to Corona Lad, $16. Will, you and I align here, but you go first. Tell us why you like this horse.
Well, I just think this is a it's just so easy. You know, he sort of built. Well, no, the way that I've sort of found this horse is like it's
how easy is punting.
Well, don't ever think that, or you'll lose your entire bank account. But I he'll punch up on speed. He'll from back gate one with Joe Moreira on. He'll be forward of midfield, sort of first sort of six in run, I'd say. You know, he built towards a big peak. He ran at Randwick in a really slowly run race on day. And he got his head kicked in by Berkshire Breeze, but he started 260 there. They sort of had a let off between races, and he went to Moonee Valley first up. He was about $4 out to $10 Betfair, and he ran a massive race behind Lording and Lincoln Rocks, and that race went really well. And it was a slowly run race, and it was run on about a good four, and they put about three lengths back to Star Vega. So he sprinted really well. It was some of the fastest closing splits of the entire meeting. I just think, you know, he'll be first six in run. I hope he's not a Quantum Cat. he hasn't run much winning in Australia yet, but I think Saturday will be the day. The second favourite's drawn 13. It's got Barrett Blake Shin on, but I imagine it's Chris Waller is probably going to go back if it's not scratched. And there's, you know, I think Flame and Roman can sort of be there or thereabouts, but he just has to go to that next level, and the level that Quantum Cat is already at. And I think, you know, it's just a really easy bet. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts sort of inside 2-1 somewhere. He's been well supported throughout the week, but he was the bet on Wednesday that sort of made the most sense to me. Not necessarily my best bet percentage wise, but it just sort of, it ticked all the boxes, I guess. I bet off prices. I'm not a box ticker sort of person, but you know, it just sort of really made sense to me, this bet, you know, with the second favorite going to go back, and so is Whiskey on the Hill. I'd also just watch out for Gold Wolf, who was sneaky good late at Caulfield first up, and he can run a nice race. So, and I'm heavily against Rise to it as well.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these Waller imports go better in their second preparation once they do get a bit of racing under the belt. And I thought this return run by Quantum Cat was super. I think that form around Lording and Lincoln Rocks is really good. We saw Lincoln Rocks reverse the form on Lording, but won. So that's a big tick to that form line. I think he's just going to get the perfect run, nestled just in behind the speed. Marrera just has to find a gap at the right time. Hopefully it presents itself. And yeah, I think he'll be too good here. He's got two ratings, last start and that 2400 meter race in Sydney, that will win this or go very close to winning this if all the horses sort of run to their best form. And he's drawn a lot better than some of his key dangers. So I think it's a pretty simple way to start the card.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope. Let's go to race two, where the punters will be hoping, or favourite backers anyway, will be hoping Federer can win the 1600 metre benchmark 78. He is a $1.65 favourite from Le Zebra 750. Nails Murphy was good at the Valley last start, 850. Way Marie won two in a row before finishing fourth last start, is $10, and Regal Zeus $11. Is this just another case of if this horse gets a little bit of room, a little bit of luck, he should just be winning again?
Yeah, they're not often this good this quickly, especially, you know. He's a 4-year-old. He's by Jamaica out of Dumb Deal. They're not. The way he's done it as well, it's just, he's obviously very, very good. He's at least a group horse. I have him quite short. I'm not someone that typically bets in, you know, that sort of price range. I prefer not to. But, you know, if we get a $1.90 Federer on Saturday, it could be just a open the shoulders job, because I think he's the splits, the way he does it, it's just he's obviously very good. There's a page behind him too, which helps. And you know, Le Zebra's run a couple of ratings, but geez, he's been disappointing his last two. I know he was wide last time and he was working into the wind at Flemington, but
Did that rating three back even come
from? I don't know. I believe that it's real, but, and the market does as well, because he's still been short in the market, but I'm happy to just sort of get rid of him at these sorts of odds. I think Federer is sort of like about a $1.60 chance, and if $1.90 is sort of around, and I could very easily make him a lot shorter than that. I could make him a $1.40 quite easily, but I'm choosing not to, and I'll bet at $1.90 or better, I think.
Yep. If this horse holds his form of last start, then he probably wins. If he improves, then he wins by a lot. I couldn't have been more impressed with what he's done in his two starts, and I guess at the current quote, you probably don't want to be launching it at $1.60, but this is a punting podcast, and I am happy to tip the Ladbroke / Ned's promotion if you can get on with them. They've actually got a special for Federer into another will for $4.50. We can tell you, it's not exclusive, I think everyone knows that in race five, the another will race, Craig is coming out. They're going to scratch and go to Sandown next week for the other Toorak win in your in race. And Here to Shock is going to Newcastle on Friday. So if you are listening to this podcast late on a Thursday night or early on a Friday morning and the $4.50 special is still there, then have a bet, because $4.50, the true price is probably going to be $2.50.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's something for your bot. Not that you'd probably take that. Are you happy to skip race three?
Yeah, nothing there for me.
Sweet, same here. Race four is the Jim Maloney 1400-meter three-year-old listed event for the fillies. Silmarillion opened up at $3.60 with a tab, even got out to $4 plus, is now back into $2.70. Wow, does seem short. Two Darn Lizzie is $4.80. Lilac $5, Jenny's Meadow $10, and Hurricane Georgie is $10, bot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, someone, there's probably been like one or two people of note that have backed it, you know, to win 2,000 or something, and they've just crunched the price, and it'll get out. This the price is way too short. I thought Cimmerillion was more like a 4.40 chance. I think it'll get 14 without completely wanting it, But he's a too darn hot, so it would make sense if it gets to 14. But I'd, yeah, the 290 is the best price, and it's just way too short for me personally. It has to be, I guess it sort of has to be favoured over Two Down Lizzie, who it beat last time. Two Down Lizzie is very speedy, but I think it'd probably get 14 too. The two that I'm, well, one that I'm sort of centering my thoughts around, I'm not, this isn't a massive betting race for me, but the race that Lilac and Delishy Boulevard come through went quite well, and it was a sprint home, and Delishy Boulevard was sort of, it was snicked and then sort of got caught wide and tried to make a move, and you saw it in the splits, like from the 8 to the 4, it did quite a lot more than the other horses in the race, and sort of just died on its run the last 200 metres where they once got past it. I thought the disparity between Lilac and Delishy Boulevard was too big, and I also thought Lilac was deserved to be slightly shorter than the best price, which is $5. So I just don't think that that sort of the top fillies form is clearly better than, you know, a nice maiden that sort of some nice fillies might come through. Yeah, I like if $5.50, $6 on the day, Lilac maybe gets me, but I think $12 for Boulevard is nice betting at those sorts of prices. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to roll forward on it. Yeah, $12 is much too big. Well, not much too big. It's a bet though.
What do you think of Jenny's Meadows, who won the mile race at Flemington last start? I think she's got scope maybe for improvement, maybe over further, but what do you make of her chances here?
I just sort of thought, yes, there's a bit there. She's off a let up though. The other ones have got fitness on their side. It went up really short or something. I think it went up like $5 or so. It's been, I have it, what price? I think I have it like 11, 4, I have it 14s. So not a massive fan of it at the price, but I wouldn't surprise me at all if it won. I think it probably continues to drift out. But yeah, this race, I'm just really surprised by the heavy support for Silmarillion. But like I said earlier, it's probably just one or two or three people of significance backing it. So, you know, it probably doesn't mean anything. It gets out on the day. I think that price is just way too short.
Yeah. I haven't had a bet yet, but Lilac is the one for me, bringing down the SF, obviously second to Private Life. Last start, Private Life is extremely well in betting in a Caulfield Guineas Prelude. Of these fillies, she's the one that gives me the most confidence stepping up to 1,400 metres, draws beautifully for Mark Zara in Barrier 5, and her SP profile is actually quite strong as well. So while she does only come through a benchmark 64, that race brought through Private Life as well, and she beat Embassy the start before as well, the China Horse Club horse. So
you can tie that form in through some nice enough horses in Sydney that with Embassies. It's you know, it ran third to Arabian Summer and King of Rousseau, who's done some nice things since he ran third the other week to Growing Empire. And obviously he's won since at Kembla. So, you know, it's a decent sort of form reference.
Yeah. I think the hole in the market is Two Down Lizzie. I think she's a little bit squibby, which I get a little bit nervous about saying for a Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott horse stepping up in trip, but I'm happy to say that she's under the odds. Silmarillion is a deserved favourite, but Lilac looks the one for me in terms of a bet.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to back Lilac, you may as well have something on Delishy Boulevard, and they came through the exact same race, and I thought Lilac was much more suited than what she was, so maybe have just like a saver or something on it, I guess, for the punters.
Sweet. Sounds good. Let's get to the Testarossa. 1,400 metres listed. Win this and you're into the Toorak. I think another Will should already be in the Toorak field. He won't have to worry about that. He's number three. He's also a $1.95 favourite. So he has just gone into the tomato sauce. But as I said a few minutes ago, Craig is likely to come out of this race. Trent Buston was on radio saying that he's likely to come out. And Here to Shock is either favourite or second favourite for the Cameron Handicap at Newcastle. So it's $7.50. So this market could be looking very, very different come Saturday. And another Bot or another Will could be $1.60. Jimmy the Bear is $8.50. Light Infantry Man is $10. But another Will, does he just build the picket fence again here?
Yeah, I think he probably does, but I'm not, you know, I think he probably stays around the price he is now. I don't think he's going to firm into as short as $1.80, $1.60. I thought light infantry was, you know, a little bit big. He came over for a Golden Eagle and was sort of held up and finished well. You look through that Golden Eagle, like retrospectively, it's got Fangirl, I Wish I Win. I'm not looking at it right now, but there's a stack of horses that are just, you know, just good horses. Gypsy Goddess, Hope in Your Heart. You know, there's more of them. Anyway, that race, like really good form, obviously. It resumed at Scone, of all places, of 200 days last prep, and the run was a lot better than what it sort of directly looks like, and I just don't think it stayed at Eagle Farm. So, you know, it's a drifting sort of chance. It'll get out to bigger odds, I think. You'll probably take, with the scratchings, I guess it's probably, you know. I don't think it's the worst sort of $10 chance in the world. Like, I think it's probably just as likely as Craig, which, like, you know, it's come over for a Golden Eagle and sort of probably just a favourite of that race. So that's not the biggest call ever to say, you know, it should be but more likely than Craig.
What's happened since?
I don't know. Has it had issues or something, has it?
Don't know.
Yeah. Well, that Scone race isn't necessarily bad for me either. Like, it... Yeah, I don't know. I just I thought it trialed okay. I'm probably not going to even back it, to be honest. But like, I thought it was interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, he's a horse with class on his side, and on his day he could definitely win this race. But yeah, all avenues point to another Will for me here. I was able to secure $2.40 in the all-in market. I think come Saturday morning after scratching time at 7:30 a.m., $2.40 fixed. With no deductions, is going to be looking mighty handsome. This horse is just on a real upward trajectory. He had no right to win the way he did last start at Caulfield. The tactics notification came through. He drew wide. They're going back. He's got 60.5 kilos. He came home in ridiculous sectionals. He broke 11 seconds for his 4-2 and 2-post, fastest late splits of the entire meeting. And this time around, he maps for a much sweeter run because Buffalo River will go straight to the front. You'd imagine Wishlaw Lass will be right there, and another Will either finds the box seat or just outside lead. It won't be outside lead because Buffalo River will be set off and he'll do his own thing in front. He'll be a loose leader. And I think that'll just take half the field out of the race because they might just be a little bit too far back. And yeah, I think this will be a bit of a procession. I think another Will wins, and he wins well.
Probably.
All right. Race 6. It is a benchmark 100 over 1,100 metres. The Tour de Horse Sprint. It's an interesting race name. Mm-hmm. Commemorative is the $4 favourite from Chinny Boom, $4.40. Now in the caring of Peter Moody and Catherine Coleman, the ex-Queenslander. Jimmy Starr is $5, Ray Magnerio $8, and It's Our Time $12. So a few different form lines clashing here, Bot, and a few returning, but how did you sort of decide who goes on top?
Well, Commemorative clearly goes on top for me, and it'd be a bet. Chinny Boom's been supported, and I assume it's been supported based on the map. Like, it, you know, it ran a big rating when it got a soft lead at Eagle Farm. But, you know, it went to the Dane Ripper and got completely smashed. Another side of that, it's not the, you know, it has been transferred to Peter Moody, who, you know, can improve these sorts of horses. But, yeah, I just think it's short for what it's done and what it is. Like, I think the money's based on the run it's going to get. But, yeah, and Jimmy Starr as well. I think, you know, the SP profile in the early market is, you know, it's always sort of significant. And obviously that Caulfield run still lingers in everyone's mind because it was such a massive win. But he just never did anything since then. Maybe what he needed was a reset. So maybe he could come out and he might just completely smash them, but I'm happy to take him on at the price anyway. 550 seems short about his chances. Commemoratives are horses in the market has always had a good opinion of. They backed her heavily last time, and you know, she never quite done anything to justify that sort of backing, but she resumed there, and the splits she ran suggest that she is as good as what the market sort of said she was going to do. And I'm happy to just put the expected rating in here, and that makes her clearly on top and a bet for me. So, you know, just in the format of that race, like Mumbai Muse ran, you know, and it does feel weird that Mumbai Muse has run second and run so well last week, but, you know, she did beat that horse, and I think she probably gets a sit running line, Jamie Carr from Barrier 10 at Caulfield, and I just sort of thought it was a great bet at 440. I thought it should be clearly favourite, and then I'll probably just have something on the Inferno too, who I always think is undervalued by the market, potentially for its winning record, but I just think it's been a horse since it's come over from Singapore where they've placed it. Well, I think maybe its rating has been sort of too high for them to place it appropriately, but you know, you go through this horse's form and it just fits in completely well, like really well in this race, and I think $15 is just slightly too big for its chances too. So you know, I could be beaten by the map here with Chinny Boom just getting a soft lead, but I'm happy to back a Commemorative and the Inferno to just be better horses.
Yeah, Commemorative clearly on top for me. That Sydney form, it just has to be superior, doesn't it? She started $2.50 favourite, was only narrowly touched off by Komochi. Mumbai Muse then goes and runs second to Sunshine in Paris. Sunshine Paris is bound for an Everest. Jolie Star runs third or fourth in the race. And I actually like her drawn out in 10 here. Obviously, the Caulfield shoot, the sprint shoot, it's only one turn, so it doesn't matter if she's sitting wide, three wide, whether she's got cover or not. I don't think it really matters. Down on 54.5 kilos, she's an acceleration short horse. She's a big mare who needs room, and I think she's going to be a little bit too good. $4.40 does look value. You can probably mark her $3.50, maybe even $3. Chinny Boom is taking up way too much percentage, and in my opinion, so is Jimmy Starr. As you said, he hasn't really done anything outside that big peak at Caulfield, and that big peak at Caulfield was at 1,400 metres. So I don't think he's really an 1,100-metre sprinter. It is still a bit of a specialist distance, and in my opinion, he's a little bit too short. So I'd probably be putting a bit more percentage in horses like Ray Magnerio and maybe even Jungle Jim, who are 1,100-metre horses, who are going to be nearabouts to the speed, and have good Caulfield form as well. So I'm clearly Commemorative on top, and I'm knocking the second and third favourite.
Mm. Yep, fair enough.
All right, let's get to race 7. It is the MRC Foundation Cup. Registered name is the Naturalism Stakes, Group 3. It's a quality handicap over 2,000 metres, and the top of the market sees two wearing the same colours. Nico loves these colours, we know that. St. George is the $4 favourite from Immediacy, $5.50. Q Tempesta, the Italian horse, is $6.50. Just Fine is $8. Gear Up is $10, and so is Positivity. Will, map is always important in a race like this because stayers, although there is a Caulfield Cup berth on the line, often these races can be slowly run, but what do you think of how it might play out early?
Well, Just Fine will lead, you assume, anyway. Gear Up will be positive. Positivity will be positive. Future History will punch up from an inside barrier. So St. George has drawn barrier 2, but it has no speed. It's a, you know, those sorts of horses, it just has no speed. Like it'll try to be there, but it'll end up being sort of 3 or 4 back the rail, which is gross for it. Q Tempesta will try and punch up. Oko de Sushi, I probably just assume they go back, and the horse that'll be a lot more forward here and can be clearly is Immediacy. I think it'll be, you know, potentially in the 1-1 getting the run of the race.
The winner.
Yeah, well, I hope so anyway. Ahmad, Francesco Guardi, Banker's Choice, you'd assume goes back. Fancy Man, I'm not sure. Off a long break, Pennywicker will go back. So I think the pace will be, you know, it just really depends on how fast Just Fine wants to go. But I'd say probably even to slightly above average. But, you know, the price is being knocked off a little now. But how immediacy was $8.50, I just thought that was just ridiculous. I thought that clearly, I think it's just a $4 chance and it's as simple as that. You know, like it, that Rose Hill Guineas form, or the 2,000 meter one anyway, I think it's the Rose Hill one. That form just being touched off by Roof Rocket Shell with Cat Ferrat, you know, with 54 kilos and the way it resumed first up, running massive splits just from way too far back to run on into sixth. I thought that was just the perfect sort of way to resume and it can easily take up a positive position. I think, you know, it's just so sort of, like, I'm not a box-ticking man, but it just ticks so many boxes. I think it just gets to somewhere just slightly off its best, and I think it probably, not probably wins. I think I've got it $4. I'm not declaring it or anything, but I just thought,
come on, fire up it.
No, I'm fired up.
Fire up.
Mate, I'm saying it's $4. I think it's a $4 chance. They were betting $8.50 earlier. Someone's touched that off. I also gave a decent chance to Banker's Choice. I'm just worried they're going to go back again with him. You know, I think his best form is over 2,000 meters, and the camp has sort of only like sparingly raced him over 10 furlongs. Barely ever done it. Every time he gets there, he runs close to his peak. It's just ridiculous. Gear Up is there or thereabouts. He's actually a Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old in France. You know, he's a very consistent horse. He has a chance, but he just sort of lacks that knockout blow. And I think there's a couple that might just go to that next level. I'll probably have something on Future History too, who, you know, it's a really nice horse. What race did it win? It won the Bart Cummings last prep or two preps ago, and then probably should have won the Mooney Valley Gold Cup, you know, right at a good race behind Van der Clare in Cleveland. It resumed really well at Flemington, sort of punched up the inside and sprinted really well in the Heatherly. And obviously St. George, who was luckless in that race. I just, it's really hard to get him that price. You know, how much do you give it for being held up? Does it even win if it's let off the chain? I don't know. It probably does in that race, but to have it sort of the price that it went up for, I think it was like, it was $4 earlier. It's up to $4.60 now. I'm being quite aggressive, and I'm aware of the fact that I'm wrong. But I have it $11. I'm happy to be against it. I've given it a little bit off that run, but I just think, you know, there's a couple that are just better set up for it. I think it's, you know, that Heatherly was so slowly run. It was off a long break, and it's probably going to be in the exact same scenario again. You know, it's drawn barrier two and it's got no gate speed, so I assume it's just going to be three or four back the rail. So it's an ugly scenario for it. And Just Fine was pretty bad in Sydney. Not bad, but it just sort of plugged away. I think it can just...
Is he gone?
I don't know if he's gone, but I gave him a chance. I've got him $11. He's $9 best place in the market. I thought he could... it wouldn't surprise me at all if he took that next step and got away with a softish lead here. And Q-Tempesta, you know, I've got it at $9, it's $7, it's there or thereabouts. So immediacy is clearly the bet for me in the race, and I'll definitely have something on Future History too.
Yep, I've taken $7 for immediacy, cracking bet, I thought. He obviously got back way too far and was never in the race. That was the So You Think Stakes at the Valley, won by Pericles. Buffalo River led that race up, and a lot of these resuming staying types were just out the back in a different postcode and in a different race. I still think that race is a much, much better platform than the race St. George comes through. I think immediacy should come on from that. While he wasn't going at a fast tempo, it still was a high pressure race, and I love the way he finished off. And I even love the way the stablemate Muramasa finished off. Obviously, he's been scratched. He's been saved for other races.
Next week at Sandown.
Yeah, so there you go. But immediacy, he's in on the minimum here. Craig Williams, 54 kilos, draws well. As I said, 1,500 metres to 2,000 metres. He's already a big winner at Caulfield, over 1,800 metres as a three-year-old. And I've had a big opinion of him from, you know, pretty much from day one. I backed him and Riff Rocket when they went to the Rosehill Guineas. He wasn't that far off him that time around. And, yeah, I just think everything points towards him here. Q Tempesta was actually pretty good last start as well, but gets hit with a 59 for having that group class form back home. And yeah, I just think immediacy is absolutely the one, and his ratings line up well. $15 was available on the all in. Unfortunately, I didn't get that, but I've had to settle for $7.
It's not bad.
Yeah. All right. Race 8. Is the Underwood Stakes, the big one. It's a big field, but there's, for a group one race, it's not fantastic. Let's be completely honest.
Pericles, I think it's a nice race. It's an interesting race. I had fun doing the form on it, but Jesus, yeah, it's not a
weight for age group one.
Yeah, it's not. But it's just a down year, I think. Like, you see this sometimes. Like 2 years ago it was I'm Thunderstruck, Alligator Blood, Mr. Brightside, like, you know, and although that was,
yeah, but
was
that's when the race was on the Sunday.
It switched, was it? Yeah, okay, yeah. That makes sense. Okay, well, so this will probably just be the norm, I guess. They'll probably got to switch it to a group two.
Yeah, I remember launching the Murray Baker mare Bonneval in the Underwood a few years ago with Hugh Bowman on board. That was,
did it win?
A tasty fill up. Yeah,
oh, it did win.
It absolutely did win. But that day, Alligator.
Before my time.
That day, Alligator Blood won only a few years back. I think my heart was on the floor because that was the worst possible scenario for me.
But was that the day that they completely hammered into him? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was was the Futurity, I think. It was Blue Diamond Day where they completely just, you know, Jelko got his hands on him that day. It was like $4 into 250. 250 across the totes.
I was always in the of the thought process that Alligator Blood ran a mile, and I was always doubtful on him any further, but he completely proved me wrong in an Underwood and then in a Caulfield Stakes as well. So,
well, I mean, yeah. I think any
he went back to back in the Underwood, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Well, my thoughts on that is any horse can run any distance. The only thing that matters is how fast you can run it. And you know, Alligator Blood, that Caulfield Stakes, like, we went over it last year. Like, yes, he ran 2,000 metres, was really strong, but he didn't run fast enough to win a Cox Plate. He ran fast enough to beat Vaundeclair by a length. So, you know, anyway.
Yeah, in hindsight, you look at it and Just Fine started 2-1 favourite.
Yeah, oh my God. How did I not just launch it? But anyway, I think, what did I back to beat him that day? I can't remember. I think I backed Vaundeclair to beat him. Anyway.
I remember, we're drifting here, but Nonconformist was in the race and Jewess was also the eye catcher.
Oh, I backed Nonconformist. That's right.
Yeah. Let's get back on track here. Pericles, if he's ever going to win a group one, it's probably here. He is the $3 favorite. What did he ran second in a Rosehill Guineas, I want to say.
Who's that?
Pericles.
Yeah, he got beaten by
the Wallatham.
Yeah, the Wallet, the same colours as Riff Rocket. What's his name?
We've got to say RIP Riff Rocket.
That's fucking sad.
That was a terrible start to the week.
Such a cool horse as well. Anyway.
Yeah. So in the same colours, I forget its name. You go find it. I remember Stu rubbing it in because Pericles.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Anyway, he's $3 favourite. He's coming off the win in the So You Think. Third up, Place to Carousel is $4.60, Buckaroo $5.50, Faulkner Park $7.50, Coco Sun $14. See, Coco Sun $14, wow. And Duke de Cessa $17.
It was Lindemann.
Lindemann, there you go.
He's one of the great rides on Lindemann that day, Nash Rilla.
Yeah, Nash. He's a group one Nash he's turned into.
Mm.
What's your starting point in this race?
Well, it's a tricky race to get your head around because so there's just so many different angles because Pericles is favorite, But he's just one of those horses, and like people fucking calling him a non-winner, it shits me. Like he's such a good, consistent horse, but he's just put in races because of his three-year-old season where he's won lots of good races and he's rating so high. They can't put him in races like Last Start. Like that was a sort of a race that is like really suits him. But, you know, he's got to be pitched up against the best horses and he's just slightly off it. Like he's run second in some really, really good horses, run second in the Doncaster, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? Great horse. He just doesn't have that big number. And maybe this is his chance to win the Group 1, because I don't think he actually has won a Group 1. I think he's just run second.
No, he hasn't.
Shit ton of them. Yeah, so this is his chance because he's third up, he's fit, and he's going to put himself in the perfect position. He's probably going to end up in the 1-1 somehow. Not somehow, but he probably will end up there.
Easily. He just follows to nine knowledge across.
Yeah, but you're pricing the race up and you cannot have him inside sort of 320, which is the best price now. You're forcing it if you genuinely think he's inside that price. You've got Place to Carousel there, who was really good first up in the Randvet. And, you know, she's a horse that beat Irocene over a mile and a half. Irocene's a horse that'll be competitive and has been competitive in Arc de Triomphe the last couple of years. Really nice horse. It's a multiple Group 1 winner over in France. You know, it's got some massive numbers over here in France, and it's a French horse, and it's come over and was well supported with Via Sestina in the Randvet. Ran a massive number there in good time, and then sort of, you know, started $9 in the QE, about the same price as Pride of Jenny. And of the first up horses, it's probably going to get a really not necessarily a soft run because they'll run this quite quickly, but it'll get its position relative to the pace will be efficient enough. Faulkner Park has no speed; it's quite awkward from barrier two. I think it just keeps improving, and I don't think there's quite a ceiling on him as of yet. But it's hard to get him longer than what the price he is, unless you're sort of being against him heavily because of the map. So I have him exactly 750. Then you got Buckaroo, who was punched out of the gates, God bless him, last time at Rosehill or whatever it was. Do they do that again? I doubt it. I think they probably go back this time. Duke de Sessa will be forward. He was really good last time in fast time with, was it Young Werther? Denona Knowledge will obviously lead. Young Coco Sanchez looks pretty short. Huerta is a nice enough. I'm just like going through the entire field. But basically what I think is it's fucking like this is such a hard race. I'm probably not going to do anything.
All that and you're not even going to tip anything. No, hang your head
just,
in shame.
No, mate, it's just so many different angles because
you're just graying the punters up.
No, that you. I'm probably going to back Deny Knowledge, have something small in it. It's improved since it's got to the Freedman's. It'll roll forward, and it could just run them off their feet, especially the unfit horses. And I'll probably just have something small on Duke de Sessa as well. Wouldn't be surprised if it's just in the right spot, right time. And Huerta was one. You know, he's first up, but geez, he can just run an unexpected race. I wouldn't be surprised if he knocks him off. If Place to Carousel is sort of drifting on the day and the yard is, you know, if it's not fat and not meant to win, then I'll, you know, if you're 550, I'll think about backing it. But Pericles is way too short. Faulkner Park's about the right price and Buckaroo's slightly too short, I think.
All right. After all that jargon.
Yeah, puns. Sorry. I just got on a fucking... I apologize for that.
On a tear. Get your crayons out, or your texters, or your pens, whatever your utensil of choice is.
How many of them you got 50 to 1 this week?
If you are not subscribed to the 6-day yet, please, please sign up, and I will start getting you some good prices in the all-in market. It's only $130 for a whole year, a subscription. That's a platinum subscription. It's an upfront payment, but it averages out to be $2.50 a week. We have all-in bets, $5 Pericles, $11 Place to Carousel, $11 Buckaroo, $13 Faulkner Park, 100 to 1 and $24 the place for Mudumek and Deny Knowledge, and $71 and $17 a place for Vaughan Declare. So we've got a very, very good hold on this race. If we can't find the winner there, then I probably need to find a new sport. But looking at this race from a, you know, not having taken those prices, I think Pericles is going to PR again here because Deny Knowledge will go forward. Some of these horses probably just don't have a whole lot of intent. I know it's a group on race, but they're first up. Some of them are going to be back in the field. Faulkner Park, like he's targeting a Caulfield Cup, so he might be back and buried. Buckaroo, what does Joe Moreira do there? Does he do the same thing as Tommy Berry did last start? I'm not sure. I was sort of happy to get rid of those two. I think Deny Knowledge is a fantastic place bet, even at the current quote, because she's just going to go straight to the front and try to hold on. And as I said, lots of horses probably don't have a whole lot of intent here. And then between Pericles and Place de Carousel, they probably do deserve their spot in the market. I know Pericles got a perfect run last time behind Buffalo River. Well, he's probably going to get the same run behind Deny Knowledge here. Blake Shin just goes forward from barrier 11. Whether he's too short, you can probably argue that until the cows come home. And Place de Carousel, well, she's been jumping out really, really well. And we know first up Australian debut, she did run second in a Randwick. So if I had to have an on top tip, maybe I would go Place de Carousel over Pericles. But gee, this, if, as we said, if Pericles is going to win another Group 1, this is your chance. So those are the three I'd probably center my thoughts around. Deny Knowledge, great place bet. Maybe Mudumek, a good place bet as well. We've already got him and Place de Carousel and Pericles. But as I said, sign up. You won't regret it. All right. Race 9, the Guineas Prelude. This is a Group 3 for the Colts and Geldings over 1,400 metres. Wanarua down from Sydney's $4.20 from Angel Capital $4.80. Private Life $6. Bizasto $6.50. And Epimeals opens up $8. So big price. Where do you want to start in this race, Will?
Well, my initial thought when I look at the market is that Wanarua is just, I don't understand the price at all. You know, like I understand from the perspective of, you know, it's going to be on speed. It's got some nice enough form lines around it. But the, you know, in these sorts of races where horses start taking steps forward, in like the Caulfield Guineas, like horses will take steps forward on what they've done in the past. I don't see a progression for Wanarua. I 460 favorite is crazy to me. I don't see why, other than it'll get a it'll lead and potentially get a soft map. I don't see where the progression comes from, and there's just an abundance of horses behind it that'll, I think, that can just sprint harder than it, and we'll get it. I have it $11. I'm completely against Wanarua. I have it fifth in line as its most likely horse to win this race. I thought Angel Capital, based on the was it the McKenzie, you know, sort of had
the McKenzie
had the momentum and slingshotted or slingshot around the Moody Valley turn. In the running line, but just the last 400 meters was about, it was like six above for the class. It, just massive splits, just enormous late time, and you know, I've always had a good opinion of this horse, and you know, I'd be very surprised if it didn't improve at 14. I think it can hold up a more positive position here. I thought it was like a 420 chance, and you know, at the start of the week it was sort of about that price, but it's sort of edging out to 550 now, and that's looking like a pretty good bet to me. Private Life was another one that comes through the same race as those two fillies that we talked about earlier, but it ran much better splits than them. It sort of ran all over the top of them. I have it $5 second pick. Bizasto sort of just has to be there. It was really good, but you know, the splits, you know, Angel Capital ran all over it late, essentially. And then you've also got Epimals, who was knocked over on the turn, you know, copy-paste the expected rating and maybe give it a little bit more than that, because I've heard quite a few people say, like, it just looks like a good horse, you know, from the yard. And it probably gets back to last year, and they just hope it sort of runs on just to get its campaign back on track. But I'd be surprised if anything sort of below Angel Capital, Private Life, Bezuster, Epimels and Wanneroo won the race. There's a couple I could back in this race, but I'll probably just have something on Angel Capital in the end of it if it stays at around that sort of $5.50 to $6 price.
What do you think of Sergeant Major? Do you think he sort of just picked up the paces when the race was all over? Because obviously to the eye, and he ran some decent sectionals late. Are you thinking that's just a little bit for Gazy, or?
Well, not really. I think that was a great run, but he's going to get back into a similar spot. And can he run the sectionals? You know, Angel Capital is going to be in front of him here. And Angel Capital ran faster split. So, you know, I just sort of think he's, you know, I don't think he's bad value. I think he's probably a $13 chance. The best price now is $9.50. And he probably, you know, on race day when the percentages come down, he probably gets out to that sort of 13, 10, 12, you know, that sort of price. I'm just so heavily against Wanneroo. I could back a couple horses in this race. I probably won't, just because I'm a little bit uncomfortable. It's Gay Waterhouse. It's going to be up on speed. I don't like the idea of being so heavily against it, but geez, I just don't see where the progression comes from, and I'm just happy to be against it.
Yep. I took two positions. I took overs for one horse and severe unders for the other. We took $11 for Wanneroo in the all-in market. This is a race where on paces can overachieve. I think back to Lightsaber was a fantastic result in this race a few years ago. Horses like that, it's drawn barrier one. It is the fit horse, fourth up, Gaybot, Blake Shin. Doesn't have any dominant ratings, sort of held its level over three starts, but you know, this the second last start to Autumn Glow, that'll stand it in good stead. I like it stepping up to 1,400 metres. And another tick for it is unbeaten on wet ground. So if there is some rain that comes, then that's a tick for this horse. Angel Capital, it's going to be an interesting one. I think this is a good test case as to whether they're going to step up to a race like a Caulfield Guineas or potentially drop back to a Coolmore Stud Stakes. I don't think Clinton McDonald is quite sure whether he's a miler or a sprinter yet, but they're going to find out on Saturday. If he gets out to sort of $6, I could probably have something on. Whether he regresses off that first up run is a potential, but the other one I've also backed is Epimeals. This horse had absolutely no luck last start. He did SP favorite in the Mackenzie Stakes at the Valley, and yeah, everything just screams to me, good horse, buy done deal. I think he's the one who will get over further in time. And Johnny didn't have much luck in barrier one last start. I think he's going to enjoy being drawn out in 10. And yeah, I think he's the one who spikes from last start. Obviously he will, because he didn't have any luck. And he was pretty much held to the line and almost fell at the 200. So he was a complete forgive last start. And I'd probably mark him a little bit shorter than $8.50.
Mm. I think your best price is like $9.50. I've just got off the page.
$9.50. Wow. So yeah. Let's go to race 10. 5:25 PM. It is a 4-year-old plus open event over 1,200 meters for the mares. Red Card. Can she run a strong 1,200 meters? That's the question and the query for mine. She's $5 equal favorite with a little deep. Extra two $6. Then you're out to Revolutionary Miss $10. Moesha $11. And My Ballamay, $12. The ex-Western Australian horse, now with Tony and Calvin McAvoy. Will, we line up again here. There's a lot of lining up with me and you in this program.
I'm set for a strip out then.
Oh, please. Please.
Red Card seems really short to me. You know, it gets Mark Zara from a good stable. But, you know, it was up on pace in Sydney on a day where it was an advantage to be up on the speed, and it just didn't give a whole lot. And, you know, there's always been a significant query about whether this horse can run a strong 1,200 metres. And, it's a really even sort of race, aside from a little deep who went to a big figure last time at Moonee Valley and did a whole lot of running late too. at 12, so and run it out really strongly. I have a little dip about $4. I think it's a great bet, to be honest with you. They opened at $8. I'd like, fuck, what are they doing?
But
yeah, I don't really have much to say other than it ran really fast at Moonee Valley. The form stood up since Arkansas Kid won on the backup last week at Flemington, beating some nice horses. And the rest are just some just average, not average, but like they're all about the same horse. And, you know, if it maintains the level it did last time, I think it'll win. And the thing with that as well, like it was a peak. But I'm happy to just back that in. The time was good. The form since has worked out well, and it wasn't necessarily an efficiently run race as well. Like it was finishing all over the top of them. So a little deep is clearly the bet in this race, and I'm quite keen on it.
Yeah, no, 100% same. Super, super keen on this card, and really keen on a little deep. Last start rating 97.7 at the Valley. That was a new career peak, as Bot said. Late section was awesome. Ran all over the top of Arkansas Kid, beat him a length. Arkansas Kid comes out, wins the Bobby Lewis. In that Bobby Lewis, you had Sons Doot, who started second favorite, I want to say. This horse, a little deep, missed Sons Doot by a whisker at Flemington, fourth up, last preparation. So she's already got that form line on the board as well. So there are just so many ticks here. Red card, I thought, was actually quite disappointing. I know she was in a good race. What was that race called? I think it was called the Concord, the IME race that she won and beat Balani Patina. It sat up on the speed there with Weight of the Stars and really was super weak late. So 1,200 metres a query, extra two will run well. And then you've just got a host of horses who are either resuming, might not be here to play, want further, might not be at their peak fitness yet. So I think for $5, $5.50 on offer still for a little deep is still value. And I think our only query is Jamie Carr drawing a low draw. You know, she's just been given 3 weeks for not taking a gap on a horse a few weeks ago at Caulfield. So that is just a little thing that sticks in my mind, because this horse will be needing a little bit of luck because she's drawn three and she's not a natural on-speed horse. So that's the only thing that you sort of have to contend with. But I think if she gets clear air, then she's clearly the on-top selection and a good bet.
Mm. Are we betting Sydney or not?
Yeah, I've got a few in Sydney. Let's go straight to Randwick. Rail True, good four, sunny conditions, not like here in Melbourne. It's ridiculous how much better the weather is in Sydney, even though it's a couple-hour plane ride north. First race I want to start on is – oh, sorry, I'll just quickly talk about the track. So Rail True, I think last meeting the rail was out 5 or 6 and it was very much on pace. I think we'll see a bit of a reverse on that, because that sort of middle to outside, like lanes 5, 6, 7, they might be heavily compacted from the meeting prior. And that might mean you can run on. So that's what I'm hoping anyway. I hope it's not hard and fast and leaders, but putting my faith in Randwick tracks could be on a hiding to nothing there. So we'll soon find out. My first bet comes up in race 3. I'm actually going to have something on Galeron, the top weight, number 1, who gets a 3-kilo allowance with Zach Waddick on the board. Its last start rating and its rating 3 starts back would simply win this race. So this is just a pure ratings bet for mine. I think I'm just purely looking at the numbers. I think he's been good. We know he's got talent. He ran really well in what race was it? It was in the Furphy Mile at Flemington, just was beaten back in March. That's still its career peak, but what it's done this preparation has been really good, and 2 starts back had clear excuses. So the one to run down is clearly Bear on the Loose, but I'm happy to have something on Galeron at $7.50. All right, race 5, the Kingston Town Group 3, 2,000 metres, Chairwolf 310, Alias 370, and Zardozi $5. I'll mention Golden Path as well, $7. Will, I'm going to throw the mic to you quickly because you do have an opinion in this race.
Oh, I do, yes. I did do this race. Yeah, Chao Wolf has come back as a better horse this time, and provided he can get across and gets a safe run from Barrier 13, I think he'll win this race. I think Elias is a nice horse, and the time was really good at Randwick, last time at Randwick, and he's a genuine 10 furlong horse, but I think Chelv's got just a bit of a class about him. Late splits there at Rosehill, he ran all over them. He was really good from a long way back in the when we were first up at Rosehill. If he gets across and gets a safe run, I think he'll probably just not just win. He's probably like a 260 chance. I continue to be surprised about how short Zardozi is being sent around in some of these races. I think her, I really like Zardozi. I backed her in the Oaks when she won at at Flemington. She's just short. Like, she continues to go around these prices, and she just doesn't deserve to be just way too short, I think. Golden Path has run some nice times too. Valiant King ran six in a Caulfield Cup. He's 70-1. If he's not gone, then you just have something small in him, I guess. But Chao Wolf has come back a better horse, and I'm surprised they are not staying at 16 and prepping him for the Epsom, because he'd be completely competitive in that. He's more likely than what the market's sort of giving him credit at the moment.
Yep, 5-unit bet for me, Chao Wolf, $3.20. I think that's a nice price. Last start, he just went through the roof. On Form King, they've got him going to 101.3, which he carried 60 kilos. So adjusted weight to 55 kilos, which is what he gets in with on Saturday, his adjusted weight rating is 103.3. If he produces that in this race, they won't see which way he goes. I love that Joe Pride has already come out and said, we're going to try and be positive from barrier 13. So that eliminates a little bit of my worries. Yes, there is a chance he might get stuck three wide, no cover, but hopefully J-Mac just keeps pressing on. And there's a lot of dead wood in this race. There's a lot of horses that, again, just aren't here to go or are looking at targets over further down the track, races like the Metropolitan. I think Elias is the deserved favourite in the Metropolitan, and he can definitely win that race. But Chao Wolf, clearly on top, just has the form absolutely on the board. Ran second to Riff Rocket twice last preparation in the Rosehill Guineas, then in the Derby. So, again, such a sad loss to lose Riff Rocket during the week. But Chao Wolf, I think he is really good betting, and the extra push is that James McDonald chooses to ride him over Zardozi. I have had a small saver on Zardozi at $7. I'm hoping she comes here instead of going to the Seven Stacks, because she'll be a lot more competitive here, and she's clearly looking for 2,000 metres. But, yeah, if Chao Wolf gets the right run, then I do think 2,000 metres is his best distance, and I think he'll be taking care of these. All right. Race 6. The Bill Ritchie Handicap, 1,400 metres, Group 3, always a good stepping stone towards the Epsom. Tom Kitten, 3,770, Amenable, $6, Scarlet Oaks, $6.50, Gringotts, $7.50, Freedom Rally, $10. I've got positions on three horses. They are Amenable, Freedom Rally, and Tom Kitten. Unfortunately, Tomcat has drawn wide, so that is a little bit awkward. They probably are going to go back, and he's going to have a lot of work to do. So I still think he's well in the mix. His last start rating was excellent. Sort of ran to – what did he run to? Let me get it up here. Ran to 100.2, so – really, really good going. Comeback super, 1,400 metres. He has been gelded, so that is also worth noting. Whether he wants further now is probably the query, and obviously the barrier as well. But probably at the current prices, I think two good bets are amenable. It's been jumping out like a rocket, and he looks really good. And they'll be targeting a five diamonds this preparation. 1,400 metres is a good kickoff point, and I just feel like this might be the preparation where the penny finally starts to drop and these connections finally do see some results, because they have been unlucky. They have run second in many, many races, including the all-age behind Magic Time on that sodden track. I think it was a heavy nine, and he SP'd $1.75 favourite when beaten by Von Hawk first up at Flemington last prep. So he draws well, barrier six for Chad Schofield, and Freedom Rally is the other one. The blinkers go on for this. He gets Nash Rewilla in the saddle. Absolutely love that, and draws barrier five. So $10 around. I think that's pretty good value considering he started $3.50 second elect to Amelia's Jewel. Ran fourth there in the race, won by Royal Patronage, and Amelia's Jewel ran second. So Royal Patronage is given a chance in the Seven Stakes. That looks good enough form for me, and I think he should be a little bit shorter than 10-1. March on to the T-Rose, 1,400-meter group two for the three-year-old fillies. Autumn Glow, $2. Manal, $4. Amina, $7. Erno's Cube, $9.50. Will, any thoughts?
Well... I think that they're in trouble if they go back on the favorite Autumn Glow. You know, it's like the Rail True, it should be fair, but there's not a whole lot of speed on in this race, just looking at the speed map. And you know, if they think it's a good idea trying to beat him for speed, it's not going to work because she's not a speed horse. She's a strong staying filly, so she'll... You know, if they roll forward on her and make it a test, she'll probably win by three lengths. If they go back and try and make it a test of speed, she'll be beaten. And Manal will probably win. Or even Erno's Cube, who was good and has probably come back as a better horse. El Mazzillo was unlucky. But you know, Autumn Glow, she's short at $2, but
yeah, it is short.
There's a lot of improvement factored into that price, which is fair enough, but it just depends on what they do from the gate. And, you know, James McDonald's not stupid. Maybe Chris Waller is, but that what they really should do is just go forward and make it a test, and she'll win by a long way.
Yeah. I think you'll get better than the $2 currently on offer. Surely they'll come for horses like Amina, $7, Erno's Cubes, $9.50, and Manal, you can get better than $4. So I think as the market percentage comes down, a few of these horses will be spec'd, because on a lot of the pros sheets, they'll have them marked slightly shorter than current market. And I think you'll end up getting 220, 230 Autumn Glow, and from there I think she's a good bet. The Manal and Amina form lines, they're still good form lines. They're still solid ratings, but they have been really bunched finishes, and it just feels like this filly is one out of the box. She's looking for 1,600 metres already, but at least she gets an added 100 metres here. Last start at Rose Hill, it did seem to be playing towards the inside. It was a hard and fast day, and she circled the field and won pretty arrogantly, putting two lengths on Wanarua, who is the favourite in the Caulfield Guineas Prelude. So, and the other big thing is, it's the first time James McDonald has actually ridden her. So Tyler Schiller first up, Karen rode her well second up, and now James McDonald. So that's probably a bit of J-Mac tax on the current quote, but if she's going to stamp her claims here and say, I am the favourite in the Flight Stakes, then I think she will be taking care of him. So, yeah, I think she's a really exciting mare. Filly. And we also saw Dawn Service come out and win at Flemington last week as well. So the form is just... it's just tick, tick, tick everywhere. All right. Race 8, Seven Stakes, 1,600 metres. Fangirl, $2.15. Zugotcha, $4.20. Royal Patronage, $5.50. Hinge, $10. Fangirl, best bet of the weekend for mine. Have taken $2.50 for her. She's a mare who just can't draw a gate. Yet again, she draws barrier 9 of 9, but I'm hoping Zardozzi gets a run in the Kingston Town, comes out of this race. Then all of a sudden, it's an 8-horse field. That means the furthest back she can be is fourth pair, off the fence, and I think down the middle of the track will be the place to go at Randwick. Royal Patronage is going to make sure they go at least at an even tempo. And from there, I just think she's just going to be too good. I mean, Zoo Gotch is obviously the main danger. Did beat her home last start in the Winx Stakes, but up to a mile suits Fangirl a lot more. People are going to come out and say her second up record, this, that, but I think it's a little bit fugazi. She ran incredible splits in this race last year from an unwinnable position where I think the rail was out that day in the Seven Stakes when Zaki and Think It Over controlled the tempo. On Saturday at Randwick, the rail is in the true position. She gets her dry track, and I think, as I said, those compaction lanes might be in play. So I think she's going to let rip with her monster sectionals. And while the barrier is a little bit annoying and the map, I think she'll run them down. And I think Zoo Gotch is probably the only real danger.
Yeah, I'm surprised how short Royal Patronage has come up. Like, it won well at Randwick, but it was an advantage to be on pace. And, you know, the main dangers got a long way back. And, there were two leaders that sort of got away, and it was left in the, it picked up the pieces essentially. I thought if one of these is going to pinch it, it'd be Zoo Gotch. Thought Royal Patronage, this is probably just a prep run for a likely Epsom shot, unless it comes out and it's a Cox Plate horse. But, you know, there wasn't a, it was a good win, but to be $6 in this field. I think that price is short. I think Fangirl is probably about the right price. Maybe, you could probably make Fangirl a little bit short. And if you really wanted to be aggressive, you could make her, odds on. Because that first up run, there was nothing wrong with that. She was beaten, but she was carried wide, and the split she ran was, as good as she's as good as she's ever been, essentially, is what I'm trying to say.
I don't think it was one of J-Mac's best rides either.
He was dictated to, but he allowed himself to be dictated to, I guess.
Get going, James. Get going a bit earlier.
Yeah, all things being equal, she wins, and but that's not how horse racing works. And if one's going to pick up the pieces and win, it'd be Zoo Gotch. And I just kind of think, because I think Royal Patronage is way too short. I sort of think 450 for Zoo Gotch is tiny bit too big as well.
So I think
Fangirl or Zoo Gotch wins. I think if you wanted to launch into Fangirl, it's not the worst idea ever. Like, if you get 240 on the day of Fangirl, like, fuck, even I'd be tempted by it.
Yeah,
250.
So you're putting all your market percentage in the top two.
Oh, a lot of it. Yeah.
Like,
fuck, if Hinged wins, like, geez, Zardozi again, like, she's just way too short. She's always way too short in these sorts of races. Major Bill, like, PR last
What time. Even is Hinged? What even is Hinged these days?
I don't know. Like, she was really good.
She hits
last
a flat
time.
Spot at the 400, and then she just surges late and almost grabs Buckaroo. I don't know what's even going on with Hinged. Like, first up, she was awful. Second up, she improved a lot. And I don't know. If she wins here, so be it.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a very good attitude to have with Hinge. If you get beaten by Hinge, you've got to fucking cop it.
All right. The last race we're going to take a look at is the shorts, 1100 meters group two. It is the second last of the sort of lead up races to the Everest before the Everest itself. We've also got the Premier Stakes group two, 1200 meters on October the 5th. And then the Everest is on the 19th, I think, of October. I Am Me opens up the $2.70 favorite after winning the Concord from Private Eye $6.50, Lady of Camelot $6.50, Mumbai Muse $9, and Aft Cabin $9.50. So I Am Me is incredibly short right now, but I have taken $4 for her. This is just a complete map bet. She's going to get the dream run in Barrier 2 behind horses like Way to the Stars and Coal Crusher, who go forward. Way to the Stars definitely leads this race. IME is just going to sit right behind it again, and I think go past it again. She's well weighted with 55 kilos. That last start win rated really good. Just getting it up here, rated to 102.1. We know the Moya rated to 101.1. So she's right there. I think 1,100 metres is perfect and a dry track is good. James McDonald on board takes over from Nash Rawilla, so you lose nothing there. A lot of her main dangers are either drawn badly or weighted badly. Private Eye draws 12. Do they go forward? Do they go back? Jay Ford's got a bit of a problem there. And Lady of Camelot is weighted on 55 kilos, the same as IME. So
yeah, she's like about, like she's 5.5 kilos above weight for age. She's so badly weighted, it's not funny.
I don't know why they probably they didn't just wait a week and then go to the Manicato, where she would have got in with 50 kilos, I believe, or maybe 51. It's a little bit strange placement. I can understand coming back to Sydney, 1,100 metres, but, yeah, I can't have her. I'd probably have her longer than 650. Mumbai Muse was good last start, but an aft cabin. Gee, what is aft cabin? I know he probably had some excuses last start, but, yeah. I don't know. I can sort of understand the backing for IME because everything does point towards her. You didn't mind Mumbai Muse, though?
Oh, I mean, like, it comes through a good race. And it's a tricky one to get your head around. Like, if you're handicapping a horse race, you know, it's sort of like Sunshine in Paris, a Jolly Star, and then sort of Mumbai Muse is just sort of sitting there in between and does like, what the fuck are you doing there? But she did it. And the time was like good enough, and the late splits sort of like take away the rest of her form, she completely deserved to be there. But you know, you see Mumbai Muse and look at the rest of her ratings, like what is she doing there? She backs up, so she can hold her form, which you know she is completely entitled to. She's completely in it. She's on the backup. But yeah, where does she get to on the map? How much speed does she have from gate one? She might be buried. I don't know. Like, yeah, my Mies is a box ticking sort of bet. You probably can't get her as short as what the market has her now. I think you know you're on at the good odds, and
yeah, agree with that.
That's the price you'd want to be on it. But Steffi Magnetica is a, you know, she keeps improving. Like she's almost improved at every start, essentially. Not really, but you know, she just keeps getting better and better. Where's the ceiling? I don't know.
Can she sprint well enough to get into an Everest? I don't know.
Yeah, she probably can. She's good enough. She makes up the numbers in an Everest. I'd say that's probably the goal anyway. I don't know. I wouldn't be betting in this race. I thought Lady of Camelot, you know, just with the weights, it's hard to get her anywhere near the price that she is. You know, the early markets are just, you know, they're put up at about, 125, 130%. It's easy for them to just put it up at any sort of odds that they want and the market will sort it out. I think she'll probably start.
Market's crazy.
Yeah, she'll probably start double figures, I reckon. She's just awfully weighted, which is unfortunate because... You know, she's
there was horse. One top sport market today that had another wheel, $1.50. Obviously, someone's hit them. And the market percentage for the race was 150%.
Well, I don't think anyone's hit them. I think they're just
scared, you reckon?
I can't
take bets. We're not a bookmaker. We're not actually taking bets, guys.
Maybe it was a malfunction. It's only Thursday.
Yeah. Do you like anything around the grounds Friday, Sunday?
Oh, not really. I had a quick look at Flemington on Sunday, but nothing good enough for me to want to tip the punters into.
Yep. I've got three. First of those tomorrow, race 6, Ballarat, number 11, Reserve Bank. The question mark is the concussion plates go on after being scratched last week. So
that is
the query. But it's a soft track. There is some rain. And I think he might just be better than them. So I'm going to put my faith in this horse. I thought his debut win was excellent. He can only go one way, and that is up. Had two jump-out wins since that. Draws wide, but it's only a shoot start over 1,000 metres at Ballarat. So it can sit wide, no problem. And, you know, those wider lanes might actually end up being better by race 6 if the rain comes and the inside lanes do chop up. Luke Curry goes to ride. So... happily tip the punters into him. Race 6 is the Newcastle Cup. I'm actually going to tip Touristic on top, who's on the third line of betting at $4.80. This horse pushed Alias, the Metrop winner, to a half length last start. Race rated well to 95.3, which is really competitive in this race. I think the favorite, Redstone Whale, just got away with murder last start out in front. Really, really slow sectional, sort of 7.5 lengths slower than the class benchmark to the 600, and just skipped away. The rating was really good and it has him on top, and I can understand why he's favorite, but Touristic, I think, is going to be the better stayer in time. Ran second in a Grafton Cup to Deny Knowledge at the end of last preparation as well, and also has a big win at Mornington beating Vegas Knight. So Touristic is the one for me, drawn barrier 2. Happy to have a bet there. And the other one on Sunday, probably missed the price, but race 8 down the straight, number 10, Isthmus. I think she's a very, very smart filly. She won well and posted a good rating last start on the Sandown Hillside. That was an extremely firm track. Probably should have been a firm 2, but yeah, she's hit with a lot of weight here, the 59.5 kilos, and that's the only thing that makes her not a dead set Morale. But yeah, I still think she's got gears to give. And going back to that Mooney Valley win, that rated through the roof that night. So if she can get back to that sort of performance, then she'll just towel these up. She's a smart one that you can put into your black book.
Mm.
All right. Do you have a best bet, a best lay?
Oh, I forgot to mention, how far does Antino win the Underwood by?
Don't even start.
Fuck. What are they doing?
50 to 1.
That awful, awful placement. They should know better than that. It's a good stable. He should be in the Underwood and winning the Underwood, Antino.
It's funny because we've got a question about that in a second.
Do we? Okay, well, we're doing best bets. My best bet is probably either Immediacy or A Little Deep, but I also really like Quantum Cat, so you can choose which one of those. What do I like? Future History is a big price. I think I can't even remember what I'm backing. And my lay will be, Wanarua is way too short.
All right, my best bet is race 8 at Randwick, number 6, Fangirl. She just wins and she puts her name back up in lights with your Mr. Brightsides, your Prodigies and your VS Sestinas. I think on Saturday she says, I'm still here, guys, and I'm still one of the best horses in Australia. My best value? Let's make it Freedom Rally, race 6 at Randwick. He's out to $10, the top price in the Bill Ritchie, and I think blinkers on, gets the right run. Aggressive rider goes on board, Nashville Willer. Started $3.50 against Amelia's Jewel and Royal Patronage last start. Now you can get $10. So happily him as the best value. And the lay of the day, you know what? I'm going to make it race 4 at Caulfield, Silmarillion. I think she's way too short at $2.60, $2.70. She'll probably get out from that, but at the current prices, she is a lay. All right, couple of questions. Squid Boy on Twitter, if you had a $100 bet, who would you spend it on, Fangirl or Pericles?
Fangirl.
Hartnell Boys, what's your verdict on Orchestral in New Zealand? We didn't touch on this race. Also, what does Bot think of the mug multi of Federer, another Will, another Bot, he says, Autumn Glow, and maybe Fangirl or Orchestral? Love the potty lads. Thank you very much, Hartnell Boys.
Too many horses for me to get my head around.
First question. Let's tackle the first question. Yeah. Orchestral goes around first up in New Zealand. She's got 60.5 kilos. First up over 1,400 meters, I think she's $2.20. Class horse, no doubt. She is going to be coming over for a Empire Rose, maybe even a Turak, but definitely an Empire Rose. I'm probably not going to have a bet on her this week. Might just be a pipe opener, and she probably wants further than 1,400 meters. Can she win? Absolutely. She might bolt in. Campioness is also in that race, but yeah, I don't think I'll be putting my hard earned down on her this week, but she can win. And in terms of, I'll let you answer it, but I would be going Fangirl over Orchestral in that multi, but you think you can win?
Do I think Orchestral can win this weekend?
No, the multi, the four-leg multi, mug multi is put up.
Oh, look, mug multis are like, personally, mate, it's not my thing.
You're asking the wrong person about a mug multi.
If you want to ask someone about doing a mug multi, I'm the first person to tell you, just don't do that. But if you really want to, then I think Federer, another me, and I don't even remember the other ones.
Autumn Glow and Fangirl.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Autumn Glow is beaten this weekend. So maybe leave her out and just go the three of them.
All right.
But yeah, with Orchestral, I thought she was a strong staying filly. Keeping her to a mile might be interesting. The race they should run her in is the fucking Matriarch. It's made for her. They think that she's too good for that, but she's probably that level. Well, no, she's
the Matriarch is such a good race, but not many horses ever target it because it's not seen as a target race.
It's one of my favorite races every year. Like a tissue winning it a couple of years ago and being completely bombed.
Launched.
Oh my god, it was off the mat. But like similar to that, but 14. Just a bit short for her. I thought she's a strong filly, not a speedy filly.
Put respect on the Matriarch's name. A tissue bolts in with the race, comes back 12 months later and bolts in with a champion stakes.
See, she's a good horse.
Talk about form. Chris the caster. We had a question last week about who's the best question askers, and I think Chris deserves to be on the podium because he's asked a few rippers. Maybe we need to get rid of Stu or something. He won't like me saying that.
Yeah, he won't.
Chris says, which horse has been the worst prepped in the past 12 months? This is the question I was alluding to.
Oh, fuck, that's a good question. You should have given me
an example. Kept to the wrong distances, accepting for races far outside their scope, etc.
Mate, there are so many horses and I'd say about 80% of them in the Chris Waller camp.
There are two that come to mind.
Oh, you go.
Antino, as you said.
Oh.
He's probably not that bad. But Kovalika. Kovalika is the king of this question. He's a stayer. He's a 2,000-meter, 2,400-meter horse who's being prepped at an Epsom again. We had him at $34 all in the Underwood. He was into $9. Chris Waller draws barrier 12, scratched him, and we do our money. Kovalika for me.
I feel like I say at least one Chris Waller horse every week who's being run at a distance short of what they should be running at. And I genuinely cannot think of a horse right now. Antino should be winning the Underwood. That's a bad placement, but it's not like he's been well placed throughout his career. He hasn't been necessarily like poorly placed. I can't remember. There's always like one Everest horse who, well, like the one that springs to mind is Arcadia Queen going to the fucking Everest a couple of years ago. That is all time bad. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but
yeah,
Arcadia Queen's the main. Like that's the biggest one ever.
Will Johnson DM'd me on Twitter and says, "Any idea why TF is Ardozi not running in the Underwood? Wetter than Sydney here. Ideal step up to 1,800 metres instead of staying at a mile or big jump to 2,000 metres.
Yeah, that's a good shout, actually. That she should be running in the Underwood. I don't know why she's not, but keep her to Sydney.
Yeah, it's a fair point. They probably just want to keep her in Sydney until she comes down for another race. But yeah, it's probably not a bad shout. She would have been well suited, and as you said, she does like wet track, so not a bad shout. Shane Burnett, is the Underwood the worst Group One of the season so far?
Well, it's an interesting race, and like it's a decent, not really a good betting race because I'm not having a bet, but you know, there's a lot of angles, and if you want to get creative, you can. But
there is a fair chance the Coffin Cup winner is running in it.
Yeah, talent wise, like. And the rating that I'm expecting the winner to run, it's probably not up to Group One standard.
I'm going to answer the question simply and say yes, it is the worst Group One of the season so far. Stu has got two questions. Which horse does Will like in the Golden Eagle? He must pick one, Japan or France.
Mate, what? I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
You don't know the Golden Eagle.
No.
Ascoli Piceno is the good Japanese horse going. There's another one coming as well that ran third to it a few starts ago. And Lazat is the French horse.
Oh, I've heard of that horse. I haven't heard of the other one though.
Stu also says, what were the names of the two girls Bot might have taken home on Saturday night?
Doesn't need to go.
One under each arm, was it? No. Coops Irwin says, what does Ben Allen have to do to get more Saturday rides?
I don't know. Absolute joke. End the podcast. I've been stitched up.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
I've never seen Bot with a girl, for what it's worth. Benny Allen, he's only got one ride, and it's Federer on Saturday.
Yeah, what does he have to do to be the best horse at the meeting.
Yeah. What does he have to do to get more rides? It's probably not a question of his ability. It's probably more about networking and just trying to get those relationships to get more rides. I don't think it's his ability, because we know he's a good rider. A lot of these bookings are done on who's riding them in the mornings and at track work. So I don't know. I think Reece Murphy might be his manager, but it is still a bit baffling that he doesn't get as many rides as he should. RD, Ryan Deeth. Bot, would you say that where there is another will, there is another way? Very good. Ben, is Mr. Brightside the LeBron James of the racing world? No. He's probably not quite the LeBron James. He's probably more like the Clay Thompson of the racing world. And Ben, if Mr. B could negotiate his own contract, what would he be on per year? Well, I think Mr. Brightside won about $5 million for his connections over the course of the last season. So I'm going to say his contract per year would be $1.5 million. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's been a long podcast. We tried to rip into the form as soon as we could, but there's just been so many bets that we've wanted to have. So, Will, happy with that?
Yeah, all good.
Happy with that. All right. We'll see you back here on Monday. Good luck. Happy punting this Saturday. Even Sunday with the Derby Trials and the Oaks Trials at Flemington on Sunday. Hope you can fill up, back a few winners, and we gear up next week to a massive week, AFL Grand Final week, the best weekend of the year.